Good morning. Everyone that is in the foyer can begin making their way in. Walked in this morning and somebody handed me a visitor's packet. Said, when you are out for 2 weeks in a row, you get a visitor's packet. I'm just teasing. That didn't really happen. But we want to welcome you this morning. If you are visiting for the very first time or the second time, or if you are a member here at Eagles Way Church, inside the bulletin is a connection card. Want to remind you that we'd like for you to fill that out each and every week. Just throwing your name on there is all that is important if we already have your information. If your information changes, this is the way that you make those changes. So, and then on the back, if you have prayer requests or if you want to sign up for any of the things that are taking place and going on, I would love for you to be able to do that. I have to admit, at the beach for 80 degree weather, it was absolutely wonderful. But it is so nice to come home to fall. And fall is here. So if you would, let's stand. And I'm going to open with a word of prayer. But while I am praying, I would love for you to make a decision. And the decision that I would like for you to make is this. That whatever you got going on after church for lunch, whatever is taking place in your life this week, that you set that aside and you focus on God. Your relationship with Him, and you begin to worship Him. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, I thank you for vacation where you can be refreshed. Lord, I thank you for Eagles Way Church, where each and every Sunday morning, God, we can come in. And because of you, we can be refreshed. We ask you to do that for us this morning as we worship you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. 'Cause you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Is found, it's where you are. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope. Jesus there in the newborn crowd. There in the light of every sunrise. There in the shadows of this life. Your great grace. It's there on the mountaintop. There in the everyday and the mundane. There in the sorrow and the dancing. Your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross. There from the cross into eternity.
Morning, I have just been breathing in His grace and bringing out His praise. And I had an opportunity this week, being away with family, to And our dad's starting this new series, God's Plan and Our Part. And I started thinking about where I am on my spiritual journey. And we're all somewhere, and we all know we're headed somewhere. But I had to ask myself, where are you right now? I know God has a plan. I know I'm on a journey. Where am I right now? And I had to be honest with myself and just get honest with God and just set my eyes back on Him. It was nothing, you know, we're never really disconnected from Him because He's within us. It's impossible to disconnect. But sometimes we take our eyes off of the prize that's set before us. And I reminded myself of how awesome it is when I keep my eyes on Him. And I read this scripture, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. And your unfailing love, it's better than life itself. And how I praise you. And I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. And you satisfy me more than the richest feast. And you see, I'm able to be completely satisfied. His love is truly better than life. When I say, through every part of my journey, my eyes are fixed on you. Amen. Grander earth is quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. Oh, it is well. And we say, let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Sing it out. Let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Oh, we let it go. Oh, we let it go. And 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 oh, I let myself go so I can gain you. And I let myself go so I can gain more of you. Myself go so I can gain more of you. No, you satisfy. No, you satisfy. No, you satisfy. Oh, you satisfy. Oh, your love is better. No, your love is better. No, your love is better than life. No, singing. No, your love is better. And I know your love is better. And oh, your love is better than life. And say, I want more of you. And I want more of you, Lord. And I want more of you, Lord. And I want more. And tell him now that I want more of you, Lord. And I want more of you, Lord. And I want more of you, Lord. Yes, I do. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. Ooh. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your love is better than life. We thank you, Lord, that you satisfy more than anything on earth can satisfy. We let go of ourselves, God, and we just thank you, Lord, that the more we die to ourselves, the more that we gain you, Father. That we can truly say that no longer I live, but Christ lives within me. We keep our eyes fixed on you. We keep pressing toward the mark of the prize that you have set before us, God. We thank you, Father, Lord, that all else is garbage except to that we may gain you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your spirit. And Father, our eyes are open to see you. Our ears are open to hear you this moment. And everyone says, amen.
Hello. God's looking good. You feel good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Somebody get my podium. Bring it. Let me introduce this series this morning, God's Plan, Our Part. And I kind of shared a little bit of it a few weeks ago, but it's good to be back off vacation. Fishing was horrible, but I'm doing what God called me to do anyway, fishers of men. I'm really not. That's just something he lets me do from time to time to have fun and enjoy his beautiful creation, but this is what he's called me to do. I want you to say this. God has a plan. I have a part. Perseverance is the key. I want you to keep those three things in your heart and mind for the next several weeks, because God's going to speak some things to us that we've never heard before. God's got a plan. I have a part. Perseverance is the key. It's always been that way. God's always had a plan. The Bible's been looked at too much as a book of doctrine and a book of theology and not a book of life. This book is a book of life. And the stories he has in it is so that we'll learn something from these stories and not just try to form some doctrine out of it. You'll understand this more when we get into what we're going to get into, but I want to set this up. God had a plan for Adam and Eve, and he put them in a garden. God had a plan. They had a part. They had a part that they were to cultivate the garden. They were to keep the garden. They were not to partake of certain things, and they were to partake of a whole lot of things. There was only not to partake of one thing, and he said, all this other you can have. You see, people look at God as a restricted God. God's not a God of restrictions. He's a God of freedom. It's not a God of restrictions. It's a God of freedom. And so he says, all of this is yours. All of this is yours. Just don't take this. God had a plan for Abraham, but Abraham had a part. He had to yield to God's plan and do his part. Now, along the way, did Abraham make some mistakes? Yes. But did God's plan ultimately work out in his life? Yeah. God had a plan for Noah, but Noah had a part. Noah had a part to do what he had to do. Was everything in Noah's life perfect? No. But was the perfect plan worked out in Noah's life? Yes. God had a plan for Israel. Did Israel's, all the God's plan perfectly work out in Israel's life? Yes. Did they have some hiccups along the way? A lot of them. God had a plan for Moses. Was Moses perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. But he was a man who kept yielding to the plan of God and doing his part, what he was supposed to do. The Bible says that God, we are co-laborers with God. I want you to say that with me. Co-laborers with God. Wow. God trusts you so much, trusts us so much that he says, I'm going to co-labor with you, and you and I are going to work out the perfect plan of God in the earth. And it will be accomplished. The zeal of the Lord will see that it happens. He will ultimately see the glory of God cover the land as the waters cover the sea. He's going to have his perfect plan worked out through imperfect people. Aren't you glad of that? And now that all of us should say amen, glory to God, that his perfect plan is going to be worked out with some imperfect people, because there's one or two imperfect people here. There's only one church that I ever heard. It was in Atlanta years ago, and I don't know if it's still there or not. It was called The Perfect Church. The Perfect Church. And, my dad used to say a long time ago, and I've heard it said by many, if you ever find the perfect church, don't join it, because then it would be imperfect. So there's imperfections in all of us, but there's a perfected God inside of us. There's a perfected spirit inside of us. There's a perfected Christ inside of us. And the Apostle Paul said it like this. He is travailing, waiting for the children of God, travailing in pain till Christ be formed in us. Just as Mary gave birth to Christ, so we have to give birth to Christ. And I want to tell you, I learned something in meditation over the last few weeks. Being born again is not a one-time experience. It's an ongoing experience. You're born again and again. The Bible, Peter said it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It's being born from above, not from beneath. It's when I'm going through life and I have a epiphany, I have a revelation, I have an overwhelming experience that all of a sudden I think on this level, then all of a sudden I begin to think on this level. I see on this level, and all of a sudden I begin to see on this level. You're born again. You've come into that higher dimension, and you see things the way that God wants you to see things. You hear things the way that God wants you to hear things, and you say things the way God wants you to say things. And we don't have to live in that insignificant, mundane life. Now, let me explain, before I read this passage of Scripture, this word, perseverance. Patience is not some we just laid back, don't care attitude. You know, we like to think of it that way, but that's not what patience is. Persevering through it. The Bible talked about the patience of Job. You ever read Job? He persevered. He cursed the day he was born. He wished he had never been born. That's pretty bad. He persevered, though, through life. And at the end of his life, God blessed him with more than he ever had before. You see, all God wants you to do is persevere. All God wants you to do is hang in there to the end. The end's not over. And along the way, you're going to have some ups and some downs. You're going to have some setbacks. But if you hang in there, God's perfect plan is going to be worked out because of our part that we're playing in it. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture this morning. I tell you what, I've heard it preached, I've heard it talked about so much, and it became a theological, doctrinal issue. And what I want you to see this morning is this story is not a theological doctrine issue. It's a life issue. It's a life issue. This is a book about life. This is my life plan. You know, somewhere in the Bible, it called it in the book of Revelation, the book of what? Life. He said, I'll write your names in the book of life. And nobody will be able to blot it out. Nobody will be able to erase. I'll put your name in the book of life. And people are taking that, well, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And we just think, well, this is about my name being called. It's more than that. It's about you having God's life implanted in you to live out a life here on this planet the way God wants you to live it out. And to live an abundant life. Wow. That's what this is all about. You ready? You gonna hang tight with me? All right. Georgia didn't score a touchdown yesterday. We're gonna score today, okay? We're going to score a touchdown. All right? But I've got a plan. You got a part. You're going to help me. I'll help you. Ready? Let's go. So Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. Then Sarah said to Abram, "This is all your fault." Ain't it strange how life gets twisted, and we get twisted. Life gets twisted, we get twisted. She's saying, "It's all your fault." Whose fault? Wow, both of them their fault. "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" It's a question we need to ask ourselves all the time. Where have you come from and where are you going? "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." Wow. Let me tell this story. the way the story is being told. God made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah they were going to have a child. 10 years pass, and how many know delays don't mean that God is not going to bring it about? We got to get to the place where we learn how to deal with delays. All through Scripture, people who did not deal with delays right always got into problems and circumstances and situations they needed not to get into. Israelites, because Moses delayed on top of the mountain for 40 days, they all of a sudden, they want to have another God. God's delays does not mean he's God's denial. It's God's plan being worked out in our life. It's maturity being happening. It's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. How many has ever been frustrated? Sarah is frustrated. She's frustrated because she can't bear fruit. That's a good frustration to have. That's a good frustration to have. If you're going to be frustrated that the fruit of God's Spirit's not functioning and working in you. That's not a bad frustration. Sometimes we're going to get frustrated in life because things are not happening the way that we want it to. Now, this is not a sex scandal. This was culturally okay. It was culturally okay to do what Sarah and Abram did. This woman became a surrogate mother. How many know they did not have the technology back then to have a surrogate mother? This was culturally okay. Now, because it's culturally okay, doesn't make it okay. Doesn't make it be the right, perfect plan. But Sarah is frustrated. So she says to Abram, her husband, here's my mistress. Have sex with her. And Abram, being the man of God he was, said, okay, I'm a team player, darling. I'm with you. She's trying to force something that God is wanting to happen in another way. So she's forcing this issue. Abraham knew 10 years before what was going to happen. How we deal with our delays will determine how we experience our destinies. How we deal with our delays is going to determine what happens in the future. What's the most frustrating? Listen to this. Depending on someone to give you what you expect, or trying to give someone what they want and you can't produce it. Sarah is trying to get someone else to give her what she wants, and Hagar is trying to have to give someone what they want, and they can't produce it. So you got two frustrated women here. You got two frustrations going on here. You're one of two things in life. I know what I am. I know what some of you are. We're either a forcer or we're a fleer. We either want to force things to happen or we want to flee from things. Sarah was a forcer. Hagar was a fleer. You know, fleeing's not good and forcing's not good, but I'd rather see somebody trying to force something through than do nothing. What you got to give Sarah credit for is the woman is trying to get God's plan worked out in her life. She's going about at it at the wrong way, but she's still trying to get God's plan worked out in her life. She's just doing it the wrong way. She's trying to do the right thing the wrong way. The only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing you had. Only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing you had. Has anybody besides me ever wished you had waited on God? It's amazing. She flees, and the angel of the Lord, say angel of the Lord, finds Hagar. Wow. This is not a license to do wrong. But I just want you to hear this. And I want you to take it into your heart of hearts. God will bless your mess. Wow, what a God we serve. God will bless your mess. He says to Hagar in this spring of water, go back to your mistress. Go back to your problem. Stop complaining and go back to your problem, and I'll bless you. How many people have tried to flee their problem? And he tells Hagar, go back to your problem. Submit to her, and I'll bless you. Stop blaming everybody else and start blaming this and that and start blessing and see what will happen. How many know that's true? Now, this story gets deeper and richer. In verse 11, the angel said to her, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the one who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Hagar and Ishmael had nothing. This was not some evil plot or some evil thing that they did. They only submitted. Ishmael had no part of this at all. Ishmael had no part of this at all. None. Therefore, she said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So that well was named Beer Lahai-Rah, which means well of the living one who sees me. It still can be found today between Kadesh and Pered. So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abraham named him Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. He's 75 when God said you're going to have a son the right way. He's 86 now, and he's 99. He's almost 100 years old before the promise ever comes about. 25 years from the day he said, you're going to have a son, it took to see it come about. But it did come about. You can still have your promise even when you mess up. You can still have your promise even still or when you mess up. I passed a long time, and I want to tell you a story. I have seen over and over and over again God just bless people. I've seen him bless the righteous, and I've seen him bless the unrighteous. I've seen him bless those that's doing everything right, and I've seen him bless those that's doing everything wrong. But here's the difference. The ones that he's blessing that's doing everything wrong are the ones who are still worshiping God. They're not giving up. They're hanging in there. You with me? They're still, God will still wants to bless because you're his children. Now here's a story that it sounds to the natural mind a horrible thing. But in Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers take him, and they're going to kill him because they're so jealous of him. And they throw him into a pit. And while he's in a pit, this is what happens. They were sitting down to eat. They looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelites, traders, taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Through Ishmael came the Ishlamites, and the Ishlamites was the salvation of Joseph, and the Ishlamites was bringing down to Egypt healing balm from Gilead. Because it was from the mountains of Gilead that the sun rose every morning, giving light into Jerusalem. It was from the mountains of Gilead that kings and physicians traveled miles to get the balm from the trees to bring it back. Because they would say, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no hope for Israel? Is all hope gone for Israel? Oh, that my eyes were a river of water, that I could pour out my tears over Israel. But let me tell you something. The same God of Gilead is the same God that is today. It was from the mountains of Gilead that Isaiah stood and he said, who hath believed our report? Who has seen what God is really going to do? It was from the mountains of Gilead that the promises of God came, the blessings of God came, and it's always from the mountains of Gilead that your healing's coming from, and the promises are going to get there, and it doesn't matter how they get there, as long as they get there. It doesn't matter where they come through or who they come through. What matters is that they get there. And we have the Christ of the mountain of Gilead still today who says, I will take your mess and I'll make it a blessing. I'll take everything that's gone wrong in your life and I'll work it out, because I work out all things for good to them who love God, who just love God. Because I've got a plan, you got a part, and perseverance is the key. You know what he said in Hebrews, the book about faith and all the heroes of faith? It says that all those heroes of faith receive their promises through faith and perseverance. Every promise they ever received was through faith, perseverance. Faith, perseverance. How many times did God's plan get warped some way? What about David? What about David? You know, What if that never happened to David? You know how many men's lives have been saved because they're standing on a roof somewhere, looking somewhere that they shouldn't be looking, and they remember the story of David? And they go, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. How many times have we seen Scripture and we read stories about things that happened and we're going through the same thing and we're going through the same temptation, we're going through the same trial or testing, and we want to go this way. We say, oh, no, I remember what this said. I remember the story that happened here, so I'm not going that way. God takes everything in life, no matter what it is. God took this horrible situation and he said, I'm going to bless you, Hagar. A great nation's going to come out of you. There's some things that's going to be difficult. There's some bad things that's going to happen. But there's some good things. See, God does He's the only one to get blood out of a turnip. He will get out of you just what he wants to get out of you. And all we have to do is yield ourselves to him. And all from Genesis to Revelation, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every person, God had a plan for. They had a part in it. And they just had to persevere through it. I've told this story before. I knew of a guy who just lived a horrible life. He was a believer, but he just couldn't keep it on track. Abused his wife, abused his children, just was verbally, I'm talking about, not physically, but verbally. He was just off track. But he loved God. Yeah, I've talked to him, and he knew the scriptures. It would just pour out of him. But he just couldn't make it happen in his life. And I just saw God pour out his blessings on him. Because this man persevered. He just persevered. And see, oftentimes we look and we see things, we see people, we see our circumstances, we see our situations in light that we don't need to see them in. That God is in it. God was in that mess the whole time. And the angel comes to Hagar and says, Hagar, you do this. Sarah, you do this. And then God begins to rebirth, if you will, the vision and the plan and the purpose in Abraham and Sarah's life. They never went this way again. They stayed true to the promise. And one day laughter came out of it. Isaac was born. And Isaac means laughter. Above anything and everything that God wants for you in your life and my life, and I want you to hear this. I want you to hear all of it, but God wants you to have joy. God's purpose for you in life, above everything else, is for you to have joy. I want you to think about that for a moment. We think, world thinks, if I have this, if I have this, if I have this, I have joy. We all know that's not true. There are gazillionaires in the world who blow their brains out. They don't have joy. Because joy is not out there. Joy is in here. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Wow. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and faith. Against such, there's no law that can bring that about or bring that down. It's an inner work of the Spirit of God in our lives. I know we're going to read, I don't know how long this series is going to go. We're going to read a lot of stories of men and women in the Bible who God had a plan for. They had a part in it. And perseverance was the key to see them get through it. How many has ever felt like giving up? Ever felt like giving up? How many times in your life can you think of just a few times that you didn't give up and you were so glad you didn't give up? You were so glad you didn't just give up. Tell you what I'm finding out about God. The older I get, the bigger He is. The older I get, the bigger He is, the larger He is, the more loving He is, more kind He is, more gracious He is, more involved in my life He is. When some of you know the story, you was here this Sunday, I told it, but when God gave me this series, I was in the line picking up John Henry, and I always get there early. I had about 30, 40 minutes to wait, and I was just meditating. This all that started flowing through me, and I grabbed a pen, and I tried to find a piece of paper, and it wasn't a piece of paper I could write on, and I finally found this folded piece of paper, and I pulled it out, and I wrote this whole thing down, just like that, and the whole message. After I wrote it down, I opened it up, and it was a $3,800 bill that my transmission had broken down months before. When it broke down, I mean, it just set me down. It didn't skip a little bit. It just broke. And I know, I'm not a mechanic, but I know, this has cost some money. This is not a $49 tune-up or whatever. So I called Barbara and I said, I'm broke down. I said, transmission's gone, the Lexus. She says, oh, no. And she started, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. But the car's broke down. I'm not broke. I'm fine. The car broke. Thank God we got three. And I never murmured, I never complained one time about that bill. And I just gave God, I was on the side of the road, called my brother, had the brother come get me. He got it towed off. And all I did was thank God that I had all of this in my life. I'm serious. I just had this thankfulness to God. Oh, did I want to pay the bill? No, of course not. But I was not going to let that destroy me or bring me down. Come, get with me. I am not going to let a broke car get me down. How many times we let insignificant, trivial things get us down? That is not anything to break me down. That is nothing. I'm not broke. My wife's not broke. My daughter's not broke. My kids aren't broke. That's what matters. That's what matters. That didn't matter. But after I wrote that and I opened that bill, and all this goodness inside of me, you just have no clue what all this means to me. What it did for me, I had to God, thank you for this bill. Thank you that I had something to write this revelation down on. Because you are God and you got a plan and I got a part and I'm going to persevere through everything and whatever comes my way. Doesn't matter what happens, I'm not giving up. Doesn't matter if I get knocked down seven times in a day, I'm going to get up. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again. Though there be no herds in the stall and there's no oil on the vine, yet I will praise his name. For he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me ride on my high places. He will give me the desires of my heart, because he's a loving heavenly Father that wants my good more than I want my good. And he will bless me, he will bless me, he will bless me in and through every circumstance and situation in my life. I just gotta say, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to lay this armor down. I'm not going to lay this armor down. Have I wanted to? Have I felt like it? Oh, gosh, so many times. But I'm not going to lay this armor down. I'm going to put it on, and I'm not taking it off. You see, I don't put on the armor of God every day. I never take it off. So you need to... I don't have to get up in the morning and put my armor on. I got to put clothes on. But I ain't got to put no armor on because I sleep in it. I dream in it. I drive in it. I eat in it. I work in it. I walk in it. I everything I do is with the armor of God. Once I put it on, it ain't coming off. Don't ever think that you got to get on every morning and put it on. You can't take it off. Once you put it on, it's put on for good. It's there. You just got to use it. You just got to use it. It's there, and everybody's trying to still go and put it on. You already have it. Saul said, here, David, try this armor. That won't fit me. That ain't me. I got to do the armor that God's given me, right? Not somebody else's. It's in you. It's on you. Hallelujah. God told me that a long time ago. I got through this ritual. I got up every morning. I put on, went through the process putting on the armor. And one morning I was going through that, and God just spoke to me and said, why don't you ever take it off? Why you ever take it off? It's spiritual armor. It's not heavy. It's spiritual. It's light. Burden's light. Amen. So don't, you go to bed with it. You go to bed with it. It's a wonderful thing. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want the ushers to come. I want them to receive the offering, but we're not done. I want to do something this morning before we dismiss. But the ushers, go ahead and receiving the tithes and offerings. Just while I'm talking, y'all, just go ahead and do that. Say, God is good. I want you guys to get ready to sing but grace finds me. And I want us to dismiss with that, but thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your tithes, your offerings. Lord, we thank you that you will bless, you rebuke the devourer for us. That you're a loving, gracious, kind God. That's what I want you to do. I want you to move up just as close as you can to the front. I want you to come up here, and I want us to, as a church, as a body of believers, to buy in 100% to God's got a plan. We have a part, and perseverance is the key. God's got a plan. We have a part. Perseverance is the key. God's got a plan. We have a part. Perseverance is the key. And that's all we have to do. When he was singing that song this morning, it just resonated in me. That's what this series is all about. It doesn't matter where I'm at in life, his grace finds me.
There in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top. Sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your
Book for the second time. The first time I didn't get it. I just couldn't get it. Last week I got it. It's called Awakened Imagination. How many's got an imagination? We all got one. How many? Let me tell you how to use your imagination for your good. Whatever you want, I want you to imagine it in your heart and your mind happening. Imagine the relationship. Imagine whatever. Imagine the doctor telling you you're good. Imagine. Go ahead. God works from the future. He works from the future. He works from where it already is. And if you will take every circumstance, I was able to minister to someone on the beach that, imagine the doctor. I want you to, from the next few weeks, your imagination just go wild. Imagine the doctor telling you all is well, all is well, all is well. There was a blind girl in this book, in the story, and she traveled to work on a bus. It took her 15 minutes to get to the bus to her work every day in New York City. The bus route changed, and it was going to take her 3 hours to get to work. And she started imagining someone coming and taking her to work. And somebody hears that story, and somebody else hears a story. And this is how the story ended. A man walks into a bar. Wow, God's in a bar? Man walks into the bar, sits down on a stool, is conversing with the bartender. He tells the bartender the story of this blind girl. And the bartender said, I'll take her to work every morning if you'll go get her every evening. So they call her and gave her that good news. She just imagined it. Just imagine it. Imagine it well. Imagine it whole. Imagine it good. Instead of trying to believe for it. So sometimes we get caught up in that trap of trying so hard, forcing it, instead of imagining it. You've got imagination. I wish you, man, I'm glad you're not in my head. I got an imagination. I'm imagining stuff all the time. I go crazy. I drive myself crazy sometimes. But after I read this book and it registered with me, I decided I got a good one. I'm going to use it for good. I'm going to start using this imagination in a good way. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can even ask or think or imagine. Wow. You imagine it. You imagine it the way you want to see it. And if you imagine it the way you're going to see it, it's going to come about. You imagine it that way. You imagine it. You let your imagination go crazy, Ray. You imagine nothing but good things. And just keep that imagination rolling and rolling and rolling. God. God is in all of us. So, imagine the good stuff. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.